Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Push that button. Woo! Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality with your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm going to add Oracle to my title also. Teacher, and more importantly, student. I am learning, growing. Listen, all I'm doing is sharing the discoveries. Just like you, it is a practice. And when I say happiness specialist, this happiness is a practiced skill. That means anyone, and I mean anyone, because if I can do it, you can do it. And when I say practice, that's all it is. It is a daily, scratch the daily. It is a moment-by-moment conscious decision. Conscious decision that you either make that you make either to choose peace or drama. And let me share with you my definition of happiness before I start on today's topics. Give you a little introduction. Thank you so much. You know, I'm getting a lot of new followers, new listeners. I don't know how the hell, because do I need a team. But the team will come when it's time. Anyway, my definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace, the ability to vibrate peace, the ability to be the energy of peace, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. You know, I Googled today. I was just curious. Just Googled, I believe I used Firefox, happiness. And do you know how many of you can guess how many hits? It was almost 2 billion searches for happiness. 1.730. I had to double check. Let's see, is that a million or is that a trillion? No, that's not a trillion, a billion. So people are looking for it. People are searching for it. And I know I did when I was younger. I shared the story that when I was younger, you know, when you make a wish, you blow out the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish. From my late teens to my 20s to my 30s, I mean, I always wished for the same two things. I wished to live to my potential. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like. I had no clear vision of what that was. I just said, I want to live to my potential, whatever the hell that meant. And I wanted to be happy. And so you know that when you ask, you always get an answer. You do get an answer. Maybe not exactly when. Maybe it's taken decades for me to discover that this happiness thing is a practice skill, which means anyone can practice. So I wanted to be happy, and what I discovered, which is what most people discover if they're looking for happiness or searching for happiness, and I know that word happy, use whatever word you want to use. When I say happiness, I'm talking about an energy. I'm talking about a vibration. I'm talking about, you know, that person you were before the programming. You know that person you were, and when I say that, I mean the programming starts at a very early age. early age. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, before the programming. I share that during the summer I was at the Medford Airport, Medford, Oregon Airport, and I saw this young kid. He was probably nine years old, and you know how they have things in the airports to keep the kids busy. So there was this huge circular contraption, and when you turn it, the little metal object inside, you know, if you've seen those, what are those blow-up figures, you know, that move. So he was turning, he kept turning the crank, and this little figure in this circular contraption, I don't even know what to call it, as you can tell, was just, he was playing, he was in the moment, he was jumping up and down, he was yelling, he was having the best time. When I say happiness, that's the state. Happiness is a state of being, it's a state of mind, it is a constant, it is a foundational state. It is what you are rooted in, and when I say happiness, it's the same energy, it's the same vibration of feeling contentment. I love that word, contentment. I mean, that says it all. Feeling, being content. Doesn't matter what the storms, doesn't matter if the life storms are thrown at you. It doesn't matter the tornadoes, the storms, the challenges, the lessons, the growth. It doesn't matter, but internally you are at peace. Why am I able to be at peace with all the storms and the storms blowing around me? It's the practice of trust. It's the practice of trust. It's the knowing, it's the believing that everything that is happening, regardless of how it feels, is happening to serve me. There is a lesson, there is an opportunity to grow, to expand my consciousness. It is happening for a reason. So with that premise, with that foundation, I'm at peace with everything now, is it? Come on, I'm just like you. I'm practicing just like you. And some moments are a lot easier. Some moments I can put it in autopilot, and I know. And then there's some moments where my ego takes over, because why? Poor ego. My poor ego. Oh, my goodness. It just wants to have focus, wants to have attention, wants to have power, but I refuse. And it's really, there's no hating on the ego, no hating. It's just recognizing that entity. When I say ego, I'm talking about whatever word you use, that lower consciousness, the mind, the critical mind. You know that place where all the stories are created, and that's what we're going to talk about later. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to share. Why the hell are we still holding on to grudges? And what is that anyway? And when did that start? And how am I so good at it? How was I so good at holding a grudge for years? Can anybody say that they can relate to that? Please. Plus, telling untrue stories. So those are the topics today, but let me just get back to a real brief introduction. And forgive me, people that have been listening to the show for a little bit, and you've heard the introduction before, but for you new people, new audience, new listeners, one of the studies that I like to not quote, but to share. You can Google this. It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. It was a study done by a hospice nurse. I believe she was in Australia, but, you know, scratch that. I'm just going to say hospice nurse. You can Google it. And she wrote a book, The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. So her patients either had days to live, weeks to live, months to live, and she asked them, what are your 5 top regrets? What do you regret the most? Can you imagine 1 foot in the, you know, 1 foot, in the world and 1 foot knowing you're going to be out in a matter of time? Can you, in fact, let me ask you that question. What would you change, if anything? What would you change if I said you had 6 more months to live? What would you change, if anything, if you knew you only had 6 months to live? And that is a really telling question. I think it's a very powerful question. I've asked myself that question. Would you like to know the answer? I've asked myself that question, and the only thing I came up with is I would just be around loved ones. That's it. I wouldn't try to do anything. I don't think I would try to travel anywhere. No, I just want to be around the people that I love and that love me, and that's 2 people. Did I say that out loud? No, it's more than 2 people, but it's not a lot, and that's okay. So let me get back to the study. So Bronnie, her name is Bronnie Ware, the hospice nurse, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, and she asked the question, what are your 5 biggest regrets? And these five regrets kept coming up over and over. In other words, they were the top 5. And so they are, which I think is pretty powerful, the 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Again, you can Google this, the 5 most common regrets of the dying. The second one is, I wish I didn't work so hard. That goes out to all you workaholics out there. Number 2 is, I wish I didn't work so hard. No judgment here, I'm just delivering a message. Number 3, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Now, I'm going to share a real-life example. There is a student, and, you know, I teach the classes, the Truth About Happiness classes, and this woman, she has to be in her 80s. I would say late 70s, 80s. And when I shared this study with the whole class, ever since then, and this was months ago, this woman who's in her 80s is coming up every week with a story of how she expressed herself to her friends or to her, and she usually talks about one particular friend who she says is a little bit on the negative side. But this woman is expressing herself and talking in class, and she said, that hit my heart. And so now she feels really comfortable sharing and expressing her feelings. I don't know. I think that's just powerful. So it doesn't matter when you change. You want life to be different. You want things to be different. Guess what? You be different. Be different. If you want different, be different. Act different. Respond different. Do different. Did I say be different? Be different again. Keep being different. I know it's a challenge, but to get different, be different. And the other one is, and I don't want to use the word proud. I mean, it's amazing to me that even in 80s or 90s, people can be different and do different and feel, you know, there's no awards. There's no award show for personal growth. There's no Super Bowl celebration for spiritual growth, personal growth, a growth period. Anyway, that's just one of my things. If you want to call in and speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Or if you're on Wisdom, just ask to join. And, of course, the number four most common regret is, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Now, when I share this one, I always have to say, I always say, you know, sometimes I know in my life I've just outgrown people, or scratch the outgrowing. I want to stop that, because that outgrowing requires a little bit of a judgment, but what I want to say is that the energy just isn't compatible anymore. Sometimes the friends that I had in high school, junior high school, 20s, 30s, sometimes the energy just isn't compatible. And that's it. Just incompatible energy. And just because I've known somebody for 50 years and they're grandfathered in doesn't mean that we're compatible energy, because I met them at a time where I was different. Still growing. And the last regret of the dying. Drum roll here. Where are the horns? Where's the parade? I wish I would have let myself be happier. I wish I would have let myself be happier. And there and here and here I am. And you know, my purpose is not to say that I have all the answers, because I do not. I'm still discovering answers. I'm here just to share a different perspective. Maybe something that you never thought about or contemplated about. So that's all I'm doing here. I'm not any better than you. I'm not any happier than you. I'm not, but I do practice all the time. Happiness is a practice skill. Again, it's the energy. So that when I say practice, the practice becomes, for me, the practice becomes an identity. The practice becomes, listen, I'm 10 seconds away from laughing in any moment, any moment, even if I'm at a funeral. Sorry, it's the truth. Finding humor, laughter, humor is healing. That's why every single day is on my list. It's not even on my list of things to do. On the list is always there's something I've got to laugh at every single day. That is an assignment. So the practice is, hey, welcome. Hi, Robert. The practice is being light. This life is an experience without judgment, and the judgments come from thinking something's good, something's bad, something's right, something's wrong. And when I say happiness, it's just the vibration, the energy is just being able to look in the mirror and vibrating satisfaction in any moment, and vibrating contentment, and having the energy of peace in any moment. When I say happiness, that's exactly what I mean. Let's get to today's topics. Ooh-wee. Oh, but before I do that, let me ask these questions of my dear audience. Hold on a second. Let me get the questions. Because, you know, I don't memorize anything. Just scattered. So my question to you is, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And, you know, I get a lot of, some people raise their hand and say 10s. Some say 9. Some say 8. I remember last week when I was asking the class, this one woman, she said, you didn't ask for a 7. I'm a 7. Now, I had to learn it the hard way. I had to, meaning that I'm up here thinking, yeah, Everybody wants to feel happy. Everybody wants to be at peace. Everybody wants to vibrate contentment. Everybody wants to feel satisfied. Everybody wants to look in the mirror and be at peace with themselves and with life, right? Boy, was I wrong. No, and that's a lesson that I had to learn, that everybody, happiness is not a 10 for everyone. And that requires me, not you, because it's my responsibility to be at peace without requiring you to do anything. I don't need you to act different. I don't need you to be different. I don't need you to be polite. I don't need you to be considerate. I don't need you to be anything but yourself. It's my my happiness, my peace is my responsibility. All the time. So I'm letting everybody off the hook and putting myself on the hook. I'm on the hook. So on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And that's only a question that you can answer. And what is your definition of happiness? I've given you mine. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace with life, with self, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And then I'm going to ask you, what is subtracting from your happiness today? And then I'm going to throw in, you're not going to like it. Then I'm going to throw in, look in the mirror. Are you as happy? Are you as peaceful when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? That's either a yes or a no. And my final yes or no questions to my dear audience, can other people hurt your feelings? Yes or no. Can other people offend you? Oh, that's a real big program. This program of being offended, I cannot wait until this book, I'm writing this second book, I've been writing it for 25 years. It's called Program for Unhappiness, and this thing about being offended, you've offended me. Well, you were programmed to be offended, and you were programmed to say, yes, someone hurt my feelings, but I'm telling you that you're more powerful than that. And the other question, can other people disappoint you? Well, the simple answer to that question is let go, eliminate all expectations. Eliminate all expectations, especially from other people, and then eliminate self-expectations. And when you do that, guess what? You will never be disappointed again. That's a promise. Never have a heart broken. Never be disappointed when you eliminate all expectations. Ooh, that's an easy one. An easy one to say. It's more of a challenge to practice. But it's up to you. Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame the world for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances? All of these are questions that you and only you can answer. My answer, let's see, can other people hurt your feelings? No. Can other people offend you? No. Can other people disappoint you? Hell no. Do you blame other people for how you feel? Sometimes. Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Sometimes. But it's a very small percentage. And I'll tell you why, because I know the truth. My feelings have nothing to do with anything external. Nothing. Everything is internal. This is an internal job. This is an internal job. It is nothing to, I mean, I know we were taught that all of this stuff happens, and it's affecting me, and this is the reason why, but I'm here to tell you, I'm here to bust that lie wide open, that your feelings and all of this angst or anger or irritation or sadness has nothing to do with out there. Now, I know that's a hard one, and I know people don't like to hear it, and I know some buttons may be pushed. I like to call them passionate desires. I know some buttons may be pushed. but nothing external affects the internal. That's just the truth. Believe it or not. Anywho, let me get to today's topic, and thank you for your patience. Again, if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and or join, ask to join on Wisdom. Ah, holding grudges. Ooh-wee. What a topic. How many of you out there, how many of you, my dear audience, my dear listeners, dear listeners, how many of you are holding a current grudge or have held a grudge or know someone that is holding a grudge? I mean, it is an epidemic. Holding grudges, are you kidding? And you know the interesting thing about holding grudges, that goddamn ego will say, oh, it's justified. Justified. I know I was, or thought I was. And let me be very, very clear and very distinct. When I say I know I was, it was my ego that was driving. It was my ego. The ego can hold on to a grudge forever, for decades. So know the difference. Know that it's really not you. It's not your soul. It's not your spirit. It's not your consciousness. It's not your higher consciousness that holds grudge. It's the lower consciousness. It's the ego. It's that critical mind that has the ability to hold grudges. And why? My perspective is, let me speak for myself, my ego wants me to feel bad and wants me to carry bags, excess baggage of things, of shit that doesn't serve me ever. My ego's great at it. Holding a grudge, let me give you a perfect example. If you've listened to me for a while, you know that in 2018, after my mother died, I find out that she gifted the family home, my family home, I say my, air quotes. I'm getting rid of using that word, my house, my car, it's just the car, the house, the family home. So anyway, that's one of the things that I'm practicing, just getting rid of that my thing, identifying with an object. Anywho, I digress. Back to the house. So after she died, I find out a month later that she gifted the family house with all of its contents to her handyman. That's right, her handyman. Now, I could smell something coming before she died because there was an attorney that was really getting close to her, really chummy, along with the handyman. When I found out, of course, a lot of emotions, a lot of anger, let's just go down the list, betrayal, a lot of woe is me, what the hell, what the F, all of that happened, of course, even with my practice. But it took me 2 weeks to be able to laugh at it. It also took probably, I would say over a year. A year and a half, anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years of letting go of that grudge against that, not the handyman so much, because he was just going along with it. It was really the attorney that drafted a Fourth Amendment Fourth Amendment gifting the house to the handyman. So I really put 95% of blame, and here we go, blaming. And did I have expectations? Hell yes, I had expectations with that house. So there you go, having expectations. However, it goes back at least 95% blame. In fact, I was so angry and so, talk about revenge and, oh, he's going to burn in hell. And when I'm talking about that energy, that holding a grudge. And so there's a difference between taking care of business, which I am doing, which I did, taking care of business without that extra energy of grudge, or that extra energy of anger, that extra energy. You know what I'm talking about. You can still take care of business without the seriousness energy, without the blaming energy, without the pointing fingers, without the this is unjust. Oh, the justice. Oh, my goodness. Don't even start with the justice. All of that. Letting go of that took, I'm just going to throw out 2 years. 2 years. Because I did share with you that I was Guinness Book record holder of holding grudges. I took pride in being able to hold onto a grudge and being able to poke my lips out and staying angry and staying mad and cold shoulder. Oh, I could do that for a long. Ask my ex-husband. And life happens, and we're friends now. He's like my brother. But there was a time, and it was a long time. I mean, it was in my 20s and my 30s. Hell yeah, I'd held a grudge. But come to find out the truth about holding grudges. And here we go. Why is it so hard to embrace someone that I'm holding a grudge against? Let me be very, very clear. It's not universal. It's not my universal self. It's not my higher self. It's that lower ego that believes that, yeah, I'm doing something here. But what I'm really doing, as long as I'm holding a grudge, is drinking the poison. And if you drink enough poison for a long period of time, you are going to, there's going to be some kind of effect. And let me get back to the handyman story really quickly. Because the truth is, the attorney, the handyman, the blame on my mother, all of that had nothing to do, here we go, with the real story. The real story, that is just a very limited, small perspective. Mother dies, gives the house to the handyman. News at 11, story at 11. But the truth is, I needed to learn more lessons. More lessons, more growth. Why? In order to discover, to find, to be at peace. Is it possible to find peace, to be at peace after something like that happens? The answer is a resounding yes. And one of the reasons is, I'm shaking my head because, you know, the universe, I use the term universe. You can use the term God, higher power, source, spirit, whatever word. It is an energy. I'm not words are just so are just not powerful for me, sorry, but they're just not that powerful. So you can use whatever word you like to use. The truth is, when I have given my life up, and I have given my life up to the universe, it's not my life. It's whatever life you have planned for me. It's not my will anymore. It's just not. And quite frankly, it never was. It never was. You know what happens. You've heard the sayings, you know, I make plans and then God makes plans, and whose plans do you think are going to be implemented? It's the same kind of thing. It's what I'm saying. I've given up. I've surrendered. Universe, whatever plan is going to be my plan. And that's just the truth. Whatever plan is my plan. So the universe has a way of knowing exactly what I need, knowing exactly what I need to practice, knowing exactly what I need to experience to grow and to get and to experience more peace. I got off the topic for a second, but let me just go back. And you know I can get off the topic. Whew. Why is it so hard to embrace someone I'm holding a grudge against? So going back to that story, I'm not holding a grudge against the attorney anymore. I'm not holding a grudge against mom or a grudge against the handyman. Absolutely not. I'm over it. Because they were just part of a bigger plan. They were just playing their roles, and they played their roles perfectly, as these people do, playing their roles in my life to bring me to a place of even more insight. You throw in enlightenment, throw in the truth. The truth is they didn't do anything, those people. No, the universe had it planned because I had more lessons to learn. And let me get back to this holding grudges. So here we go, holding grudges against someone. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that you know the whole story as to why whoever you're holding a grudge against, and if you're lucky, you have more than one people, you have more than one person you're holding a grudge against. Woo! That's a lucky person. You got more than one. Yay! You're holding a grudge against a family member, maybe a coworker, maybe a stranger. Oh, it's just great. The more grudges, the better. Yay! Grudge sale. Oh, that's hard to say fast. Grudge sale. That's hard to pronounce correctly and say it quickly. Anywho, do you believe, so my question to you is, do you believe you know the whole story as to why you think they made you angry, or whatever reason why you're holding a grudge, why they hurt your feelings, or they caused you some type of harm, or some type of angst, whatever. Do you believe that you know the whole story? The second question is, well, this isn't really a question. This is a statement. Thank you. Know that when you are holding a grudge, and again, the more grudges, the better, you are not living in the present moment. You're not only not living in the present moment, but your past, you're dragging your past with you. You're dragging your past into the present moment, and you're dragging your past into the future. Now, talk about the ultimate peace is being in the present moment, living in the present moment. So you're actually robbing yourself of the present moment, and you're robbing yourself of more peace that you could be experiencing. Why would you do that? She asked. Why would you do that? She asked again. And here we go. Put your seatbelts on for this, my dear audience. And again, if you want to call and speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And you can also just ask to join if you're listening on Wisdom. Seatbelt time, and I really, really mean it. If you're holding a grudge, or even more than one grudge, there is a strong possibility. I didn't say it was 100%, but there's a strong possibility that the real grudge that you're holding is a grudge against yourself. What did she say? What? Let me say it again since you're asking. There's a strong possibility that the grudge you're holding against someone else is really a grudge that you have against yourself. Blasphemy. Oh, what's wrong with her? She's crazy. I'm not holding a grudge against me. That doesn't even make sense, she said in her character voice. Hey, I'm getting pretty good. So with that in mind, how about this? I challenge you. You don't have to accept the challenge. I challenge you, number one, to find a mirror immediately and to accept all of your so-called, and this is a word from the ego. This is not a universal word. Trust me, these words, I don't use these words. This is all ego. Accept all of your failures and your mistakes and all of your disappointing moments and all of the shame. All of the things that you've done, all of the things that you might have done that you don't want to discuss with yourself or with anybody else. So what I'm saying here is I challenge you very lovingly, the moments that you've been ashamed or embarrassed to talk about, accept the fact. Here we go. You know, I'm a problem solution kind of girl. Here we go. Accept the fact that you, my dear listener, my dear audience, I'm going to include myself too. Thank you, that you've made decisions in the past based on jealousy, hatred, disappointment, fear, anger, envy, annoyance, anxiety. Written. Accept the fact that you, the person in the mirror, has made decisions based on, you have made decisions based on jealousy, envy, hatred, disappointment, fear, anger, depression, anxiety, all of those labels of emotions. You know what I'm talking about, that you've made decisions based on all of those. And then when you can say, yes, you know what? That's true. Yes, I have. Yes, I did. Yes, I did make decisions when I was angry. I'm speaking of myself. Yes, I did make decisions when I hated someone. It's funny to say that now. I hate you. Let's get deeper. Self-hatred. Self-anger. But I have my hand up, right hand up. Yes, I've made decisions based on all of that shit, all of those emotions. And then I can understand that other people do the same thing. And then I can comprehend and understand and have compassion that other people do the same thing. You know, these people I'm holding a grudge against. You know, that attorney that I'm talking about. Oh, it was 2 years. It's still continuing. It hasn't even ended. I mean, he made decisions based on spite, anger, revenge. I don't think I used any of those. Spite, revenge. Spite is a real good one. A revenge. You know, I wasn't one of his. I wasn't a fan. What am I trying to say? I wasn't one of his fans. No, that's not what I want to say. No. He wasn't one of my fans. Let's just say that. I wasn't a fan of his. In fact, I was the opposite. I was the opposite. So the practice is, once you accept and embrace yourself, including the decisions that you made or acted on based on spite, hatred, fear, anger, jealousy, then you'll be able to have compassion for others. But really, when you start with the compassion for self, the compassion for self leads to compassion for others. Compassion for self leads to compassion for others. And let me say this about holding a grudge. Something else. Just because you don't have contact or are not in contact with someone else, especially if we're talking about the person you're holding a grudge against, just because you don't have contact or you're not in contact with the person you're holding a grudge against or you've let go of the grudge doesn't mean that you can't forgive them. You can still forgive even if they are not in your presence or won't be in your presence. And that comes from, how many people can forgive the dead or a member of the dead, someone that has died and someone that you didn't forgive them before they died. You were holding a grudge before they died, and now they died. I mean, there's been a lot of stories where people have forgiven someone even though they're dead. So it's possible not to be around someone, not to have contact with someone, but you can forgive them. And forgiving them is an internal activity. Has nothing to do, it doesn't require a manifestation. Forgiveness does not require going, hugging, shaking hands, letting it go, having a conversation. It really starts within. And I contend that this forgiveness starts with forgiveness of self. So the ego likes to play a trick, which means you have to go to their house, you have to have lunch, you have to do what you used to do. No, you don't have to do any of that to let go of grudges. You don't have to be in their presence. You don't even have to have contact. But this letting go, this forgiveness comes from inside of you. It is an internal vibrational energy that you can feel. You can actually feel it disappear. You can feel it being lifted. You can feel it gone. I'm still going back and forth, you know, legal things with this attorney, but I don't have any grudges against him. I could sit and have lunch with him easy. Because why? Number one, it wasn't him. It was a universal plan. Number two, this is going to be even more challenging. You may need seatbelts for this too. Keep your seatbelts on. That whatever this person did, said, however it played out, oh, this is horrible. I don't even like to tell you, but I'm going to have to. It wasn't personal. Whatever was done, whatever was said to you wasn't personal. And that includes me with the mom, with the attorney, with the handyman. It wasn't personal. This is something they, that it was a universal plan, that in all universal plans, guess what? They get played out. Ask Jesus. There's no religion here, but ask him. There was a universal plan, a destiny that man could not turn around and say, no, I don't think so. I like using that example. It tickles me. Poor Jesus. You know, and when I say that, the lessons that I've learned just from that man, Jesus, just from that person, can you even think of a better example of someone who tortured to the nth degree? I mean, I don't even know anything about physical torture, humiliation, nailed to a cross, and while all of this happening, getting ridiculed and who knows what else, this man says, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying letting go of grudges to that degree. And know that. And that's why this the lessons that I've learned, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. There's no bigger that I can think of, no bigger lesson. Well, there's a lot of lessons like that. There are a lot of lessons like that. It comes from, you know, the Amish family that had that mass shooting years and years and years ago, probably maybe almost two decades ago, and how the family members went to the man that shot up, I know I'm just getting way off the tangent, but the man that shot and killed students, these were children, they were in school. Do you know that the Amish went to the killer's funeral, forgave, and actually went to the parents of this man that killed their children? So see, there's a lot of examples, not a lot of news coverage though, but there's a lot of examples of that forgiveness and letting go. You know the tricky ego will make you feel that you're justified holding on to a grudge. But I'm here to tell you that there is no amount of justification that is going to subtract from my peace. I'm done with it. I had decades of holding on to grudges. I wish I could hold on to a grudge. I can't. It's too slippery. I refuse. Sorry, ego. And let's just recap. You can think of a time when you've made decisions based on anger, based on jealousy, based on hatred. And so these other people are doing the best they can too. And this letting go of a grudge has nothing to do with them. It has something to do with you and your peace. All right. Well, that's my section on holding on to grudges. Now let's talk about, ooh-wee. Let's talk about, what was my next topic? Oh, Lord. Telling untrue stories. What the heck are you talking about, Rebecca? Let's see. Hold on a second. Nope, I don't want to use that note. Where are my notes? Hold on. Here we go. Oh, you know, if I don't use notes, I'll either ramble on and I'll forget my points. So that's why I need notes. A question that I received, and I love questions. The question that I received last week, so that answers that question. What if I'm holding a grudge? Okay, and then this question that I got, which I love this question. The question is, hold on a second. Where is it? I just want to read it exactly. Okay, here we go. I rely on stories to make sense of the world. Please talk more about letting go of stories. So this person wrote, I rely on stories to make sense of the world. Please talk more about letting go of stories. Well, of course I will. And here we go. I rely on stories to make sense of the world. How about this? Let's start. You don't have to let go of the story. You don't have to let go of the story. So the practice always comes down to, the first point of business, and that is acceptance. That practice of acceptance of who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what you're not doing, just practice acceptance. In the mirror and everywhere else, the practice is of acceptance. So number one, don't feel that you have to let go of the stories. There's nothing you need to do. And that's the beauty of this. You know, the world will bombard me with, you got to do this. You're not working it hard. You let go. Let go of all of that shit and really start with acceptance of self exactly where you are and how it looks. You know, this world sells dissatisfaction. That's sells, S-E-L-L-S. Not sales, sells. Sells dissatisfaction. I mean, come on, it's all around. Not enough in a relationship. You need a relationship. You need to lose more weight. You need to, find your path. Oh, the world sells dissatisfaction, and I'm here to sell the opposite. I'm here to sell satisfaction in the moment, wherever the hell you find yourself. Feel, be, have the energy, vibrate satisfaction. So number one, the practice is acceptance. Acceptance of where you are in this moment. Again, if you want to speak with me live, the number here to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Okay. So let's talk about the stories. So the first thing, the first thing is not trying to let go of the stories. But what I would like you to investigate and understand is that your stories are incomplete. And your stories may only tell one-tenth of the truth, if any. Understand that all of the stories, and you know all stories are authored by the ego, and I've just cut stories off. My clue is, the hint is, if it's more than three words, it's a story authored by the ego. I don't believe them anymore. And in fact, that's one, let's see, where did I put that? That's one of the things, if you've followed or read anything with Byron Katie, her name is Byron, B-Y-R-O-N Katie, K-A-T-I-E. She calls her work, or her practice, she calls her practice, her work, the work. And she asks these four questions. There's four questions. And the first question is it true? So when you tell yourself, or when you tell yourself, when the ego spits out a story, I'm here to say, question it. Is it true? And the second question is that you ask yourself, are you absolutely sure that it's true? So telling the stories, listen, I have it too, the constant stories of why and because and the reasons, but I'm done with it. I'm over it. So let's get back to finding a solution to these stories. Number one, you accept them. Number two, understand that your stories are incomplete and they may only tell one-tenth of the truth, if any. Let me ask you this. How have you influenced every single person you've met? What? What did you say? The question is, how have you influenced every single person you've met? Can you even answer that question? See, it's impossible to answer that question. Why? Because, number one, you'd have to go into everybody's head and be them. Everybody. You know, the story that the ego likes to tell is like reading. It's like reading a paragraph in a novel. No, it's like reading a paragraph of a novel and then giving me a whole breakdown of the book. The stories that the ego comes up with, it's like reading a paragraph in a novel and then giving me the whole breakdown. I only have to say that twice because I think it's really powerful. And giving me a whole breakdown of the book or giving me a book report from one paragraph. You see how incomplete and how limited those stories are? But guess what? My ego will try to convince me that, yeah, it's true. And the stories in my head, not only are the stories true, but I'm making sense. I'm making sense of what's happening with these stories. I'm going to challenge you. Give me a story that can make sense of out of war. Huh? Yeah, well, give me a story that makes sense out of going to war. So my point is just to really hone in, focus, and be aware of those stories in your head that, number one, are constant, but number two, are incomplete, number three, authored by the ego, number four, one perspective, boy, I'm going in a lot of numbers, number five, incomplete, number six, unreliable. Number seven, not true. I might have said not true more than once. That's not a story. And the reason why I'm questioning these stories, I don't know about you, but all the stories authored by my ego, there's not a lot of peace behind them. They're not creating any kind of peace. In fact, you know, I'm trying to think of a story that my ego would tell me that's going to instantly, I was a clap because of my snap. Let me see if I can snap. I don't know if you can even hear the snap. Well, these are really weak snaps. I'll just clap. That's better. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Jesus, I really did. Oh, sorry. Snap. Oh, I really did. I lost my track of thought. Clapping and snapping. Let me get back to the premise of letting of the story. Okay, that's what I was saying. That the stories, you know, I don't know about you, but my stories, I have to search to find some peace. There are always some kind of bad news stories, negative stories, complaining stories, comparing stories, perspective stories, all ego-driven. I don't know about you, but I don't find any peace or satisfaction in the stories in my head. But what I do practice and what I do know is that just because I have a story in my head, that doesn't tell the complete story. Just because the stories are in my head, it doesn't, number one, tell the complete story. And the practice is to trust the journey. Know that you can only conceive of a fraction of what's going on in this universe. Know that you, and I have people in the queue, if you want to speak with me live, just press the number one. And on Wisdom, if you want to join, just ask to join. But these stories are only a fraction of what's going on. It's just like looking at, it's just the universe itself. You know, we have so many different dimensions, so many things that you can't even see under a microscope. There is so much more than one limiting story. Why limit yourself to just one ego-created story? Why rely on that? And I'm really especially talking to all you know-it-alls. I'm a recovering know-it-all, too. Believe it or not, even though it sounds like it, I honestly throw up my hands and know that I don't know it all now. In fact, the practice is, my personal practice is, I am so at peace with not knowing. I am so at peace with not being right. I am so at peace with uncertainty. That's right. All the things that my ego doesn't find peace in. My ego does not find peace in not knowing. My ego wants to know. My ego, oh my God, wants me to believe these stories. Even they're incomplete and even they're not true. See, my ego is very limited. And the other thing that my ego cannot do, I mean, if I yelled at it, hey, come up with another perspective, ego. Come up with another story to explain it, just like I did with the handyman in the house a little bit earlier. Yeah, the story is, mother gifted the house to the handyman. Handyman gets the house after my mother's death. But guess what? That's just one very small part of the story. The truth is I had more lessons. I had to learn to eliminate more expectations. How about this? Let go of attachments. I didn't think I was attached. Let go of these physical attachments. See, there's always more to the story. That ego will just keep me in a box, very confined box. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to share with you, that each and every one of you, including myself, is doing the best you can in every single moment. And that God or the universe or whatever term you want to use is okay with what you're doing. You get an A+. I never was comfortable with that, but I sure am comfortable with it now. You get an A+. What you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say, you get an A+. We're all doing the best that we can in any single moment. But that's not taught either. The lessons, the popular is more. There's not enough. I need more. I'm dissatisfied. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the action was taken by inspired action, as opposed to, hard work? I get it. It's not a popular stance. I'm okay with not being popular. I'm okay with taking a road less traveled. I'm okay. I'm just sharing. And I like to tell this one. I like to give this. It is a story, but it's what happened years and years and years over a decade ago. And I was, you know, talking online and online show, podcast, whatever they call it. I don't even know what they call it anymore. Show, podcast. What's the difference? online show. What's the difference? Who knows? Anywho. So when I first started, believe it or not, I couldn't put, okay, I will get to you in a minute, Wisdom Community. I couldn't put two words together. I mean, to talk for 5 minutes was a struggle. And then the numbers, and I only had one person listening, two people listening, maybe three people listening. Oh, God, no one's listening. That's all ego, too. It's all ego. The ego loves numbers. The ego loves to look at numbers. Oh, these numbers aren't high enough. Numbers from the bank account, numbers on social media. You want to find more peace. You want to experience more peace. Let go of these numbers. Anywho, back to the story. So I was really bothered. Number one, I wasn't really inept in speaking for a long period of time, and then no one was listening. That was the real kicker. No one was listening. And the universe hit me right between the eyes, or right in the, whichever, between the eyes. Usually I get a baseball bat to the back of the head, you know, unsuspected, and not even knowing, bam, right to the back of the head. And I was complaining that nobody's listening. And the universe hit me with, we're listening. Isn't that enough? So that's my story about letting go of numbers. And getting back to letting go of the stories, so the practice is, number one, is the story really telling the full story, or is it just a small section, a small, very small portion? Is it just a paragraph from a novel? My challenge to you is what is... question the stories. I don't even entertain them anymore, quite frankly. No. No. The stories in my head, nope. Not true, not listening. Thank you, I hear you, but not identifying with them at all. Oh, hold on a second. Now I have people here and I have people here. Let me see if I can work this. Hold on. Oh, let me see who was first. I see you, area code 630. Hold on a second. And I see you, Wisdom Community. I believe the Wisdom Community was first, so I'm going to have to do this first. Let's see. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. Click. Yes, guest is joining. Okay. One, two, Matthew.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. I was listening. Well, I saw your subject and about, you know, holding grudges and stuff like that. And I can and definitely relate to that because I was bullied a lot when I was in middle school and in high school, and it created a lot of resentment and anger issues, and then, and for the longest time, my mom, she was like, you have to let go of that ball and chain, you have to, she understood why, because she had to go up, there were many times she had to go up to the school and stuff like that, but, she was like, you have to really try and get rid of it. And I've been really trying, this past year. And, there are times when I still have nightmares, but I'm really dedicated to really trying to get rid of this, because,
May I share something with you? This is because one of the things I always say is I'm not doing this by myself, and neither are you. So what one of the things that I practice is a really simple one, is just going outside, you know, barefoot or not, if you want to just go in the, you know, stand in the grass, palms up, and just ask God, the universe, whatever you call it, and say, how do I let go of this resentment? How do I let go of the anger? How do I let go of holding on to these grudges? And then let it go and let the universe do the work. You know, that word try, you know, and I get you, and I promise you, I'm giving you a virtual hug here, but throw it on the universe. Let them do it for you, and then practice patience. But how do I let go of this, universe? How do I let go? Assist me in letting this go. What do you think about that?
That sounds pretty good. I am gonna try that. You know, I'll definitely try that. And also just to let you know, I am on the spectrum. I'm 35. I'll be 36 next month, and I was diagnosed with Asperger's at 16. So. But the work I've been doing with a good therapist, and also with friends in my corner and stuff like that, you know, I have, you know, I've learned to be more of myself and to embrace who I am and try to be more positive, and also prayer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer gets me through it as well. And, you know, but yeah, you know, I mean, bullying, yeah, it, it messed up my school life, but it has ruined part of my my early 20s, you know, because, you know, I held on for that grudge, but I'm not going to let it ruin the rest of my life, and I'm definitely taking it one step at a time and trying to let go, mm-hmm. go of all the grudges and stuff like that, and...
Let me share something else, and you know, if you want to come back, you're more than welcome, because our time is going to be 54 seconds, but you're more than welcome. But so again, with the hands up, just ask how. Hey universe, how do I? And I'm going to challenge you. I know, I'm just going to challenge you to, and you don't have to do this now. Patience is very important. Is who are you without your stories? Who are you without the bullying stories? Who are you without the Asperger stories? I'm not poo-pooing any of it, but I'm saying really it's you're more than that, those stories. And those telling those stories over and over and over and over and over and over again, I get it. That's what the world does. But I'm telling you, you're more than those stories.
Thank you. I'll come right back.
Okay, good.
I will.
Okay, good. Okay. He's coming back. And then I'm going to get to you, area code 630. I'm going to get to you as soon as we finish with this one. Beep, 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 beep. I keep forgetting that I have to push buttons here. Oh, one of these days I'll have a producer and somebody that do all of this, all of this stuff for me. Okay, go ahead, Matthew. So that's, you know, I just wanted to say that you're more than your stories. How did that feel to you? Did that feel lighter? Or did that feel heavy? Did that feel annoying? How did that feel to you?
That felt really good, you know, hearing you say that. And I actually do believe that there's more to me than just, you know, my Asperger's or just my bullying.
Mm-hmm.
If you also go on my wisdoms, you know, like I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. I'm a huge fan of comic books. And, yeah, I just got finished doing Superhero Sunday and talk about my favorite comic book writers and, I'm also a fan of American Horror Story. I just started watching the new season, and so far, so good. But yeah, there is more to me than that. You know, it's I'm just a big kid at heart. You know, I mean, I love, you know, well, I just mentioned the stuff that I love,
uh-huh.
and Also, I'm from Dorchester, Massachusetts, which is home of the Wahlbergs. Yep, Donnie and Mark Wahlberg. And
are you a football fan? Are you a New England fan?
I was a fan of the Patriots. Not so much now because we're kind of going through a transition. I mean, like, I kind of still support them, but you know, with Brady gone, you know, it's kind of gone downhill. So, but we're in a transition. It's going to be, you know, a few years before we go back to the playoffs. So
that's so funny. Well, we don't know that. Who knows what's going to happen this year? But. I am a New England fan and also a Tom Brady fan, and actually this is way off the topic, but I went to that game last year when Tom went back to New England for the first time. Yay! I didn't know who to root for because I like both of them. But anyway, we're getting off track. So, but I want to say to you, this is a challenge. You don't have to do it. No, scratch that. This is a homework assignment, and you don't have to do it. But I kind of got a little feeling. I want to challenge you, your homework assignment, whoever the next person you talk to that doesn't know you, you don't, or introduction, a show, whatever, that you leave all that Asperger out and you leave the bullying out. Only because just a practice. Not to say that it didn't happen, but you're more than that, and just letting go of that. Just like you said, you're more. So the dragging of yesterday into today, dragging. Oh, got to tell that story. I mean, I get it, but I'm just letting you know you're more.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Rebecca. That is, that is so very nice of you. And, of course, you know, I know that I'm more than that, and
well, then act like it. Act like it.
Yeah.
I said it with love.
Yeah. I most definitely will, and that's a, you know, that is a good challenge, and you know, I'm gonna go on some other wisdoms before I go and do my my podcast. I have two podcasts on Spotify. I have one called Matt's World, and I have one called Enter the Batcave, which comes on Sundays, and also this past month of October, I've been doing it during the weekdays because I'm dedicating it to Blade. It's Blade Month, so
of course it is.
Yeah, you know, yep. So make sure you all tune in for that, and. But thank you for having me on here, and I'm definitely going to start following you, and also check out my wisdoms if you ever get the chance. You know, some good stories and good talks as well. I've had some good guests, and thank you for the advice. I'll definitely follow it, and well, see you later, and I hope you have a good rest of the day.
Well, thank you so much, Matthew. I really appreciate you. I really, really do. And again, advice is just a suggestion. Again, when I say you want different, do different, be different. And I really appreciated that call and that sharing. You know, and that telling stories on and over and over and over. And I mean, I've told my handyman took the house, you know, attorney, my mother died, took the handyman, gifted the house of the handyman. Of course, I've told that story, but the story is nothing to do with me, but the story is, you know, the lessons. I really like focusing on what are the lessons. How have I grown from this? So I don't know. My focus is just is really on to, my focus is where am I going to be at, where am I finding peace? That's really the focus. And let me go to my caller here. Let's see, area code, how do I do this? I got to click this number and then, oop, click this number and click that number. Hold on, let me see if I can do this. Let's see if everybody can hear. Put you on speaker, area code 630. You are live.
Hi.
Hello, your life. What's your first name? Hi.
Hi, my name is Dion. I've been listening to your show. I was listening to it on the web browser, but then I kept getting kicked off, so I decided to call in. And a lot of what you're saying, I grasp, you know, like the stories, our beliefs that you just, like the word belief has the word lie in it. So, like, it's just something you tell yourself over and over and over again until you believe it. But, well, and so I had a story. And I wrote a book, and I published it, and then it became two books, and then it became three books. And, like, what do you do when part of your story is part of your career? Like, how do you separate yourself from that? It's like telling Julia Roberts, you're not an actress, but she is. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So how does someone get around that?
Well, be really specific. So what are you asking? Are you asking, so you're an author, and I'm going to think a speaker also?
Yeah, I do podcasts and things like that. But my story made me like a career. But, you know, people are like, well, you should leave your past in your past. And it's like, I can't leave my past in my past. It follows me wherever I go. But how do I, so when people tell me, stop telling your story, just move on from the past, but how do you do that when you're also a public figure? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I too would like to, I guess, does it just come down to the feelings? Like, I leave the, like, when your mom left the handyman the house, I'm sure that you felt cheated, right? So,
uh-huh.
So for a while,
I felt a lot of shit going.
Right, so did you just let go of, like, the ill will, the feelings, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and I'll share with you, I'll answer your question, and then I want to get back to you, because I really want to assist with your question. So when I found out, of course, the, quote, normal way of responding, anger, betrayal, pissed off, but I was ready. If I had a weapon, some people would be sprawled out over the lawn. So it was a lot of that shit. It was a lot of that. And then, but because of what I practiced, and there was no, absolutely zero peace in it, it took me about 2 weeks to be able to laugh, to be able to say it and laugh that, hey, guess what happened to me? And then when I say it, and I watch people's expression, because it's the program expression when I say that, hey, mom died, left the house of the handyman, it's always the same. Mouth falls open, eyebrows go way up, eyes pop out. So I was really getting into the reaction when I was telling that story. And then, but after a while, this being angry and staying angry, it wasn't doing anything for my soul, but it did take, we're gonna override that. It did take it took almost 2 years to be able to let go of blaming and being angry with the characters in that story. A mom, a handyman, a attorney. So letting go. But when you talk about, I want to get back to you, I don't know if that answered your question, but when you talk about, I know what you're saying, so I'm a speaker, I'm an author, I'm a fitness instructor, I'm a podcaster, online radio, online show, all of that. So my question is to you is, first of all, what was your first name again?
My name is Dion.
Oh, Dion.
But my
Dion.
Name is Stella Rose. So the thing is like, okay, but you can't really move on from your story entirely because you're still talking about it. You know what I'm saying? So is it just that you changed the context of, instead of feeling bad, now you're just using your story as a learning lesson to help other people?
Yes.
Because
yes.
That's what I've done.
Yes.
You can't necessarily, like, it's
correct.
Like, oh, you know, like, you can't leave somebody from your past in the dust. because nothing leaves the universe, not one drop of sand, not one drop of water, nothing leaves the universe, you know what I'm saying? It's just limited how much you pay attention to that particular subject. So is it more or less just leaving the feelings,
you know,
the negative feelings behind?
Now I'm getting chills. I get chills when I'm either hearing the truth or speaking the truth, and what you're saying is, there are no emotions attached. Zero emotions, not sadness, not anger. There's absolutely and no judgments. No judgments, no emotions. It's just, you know, I say life is an experience without judgment. So there is no emotion attached to it. There is zero emotion. Not good, not bad, nothing. It's just, okay, so it's just like the sun coming up in the morning or the moon coming up. The sun comes up, but there's no emotion attached to it. Oh, God, the sun is up. No, it's just what happens. The fall, the leaves fall, turns color. That's just what happens. Tide comes in, tide comes out. It's just what happens. Did I answer?
Yeah, because it's just hard, like, when I talk to people, and maybe some of the people I talk to, they're just not very spiritual. They say, oh, you know, you got to leave your past behind. It's like, well, the past is going to be left behind because it's in the past. But I feel like where some of the clarification could come in, and that's what your radio show is about today, is just shifting your feelings into a area where it doesn't affect you anymore, because like you were talking to the previous caller with his episodes that happened to him, that's very personal, and that shouldn't be shared with a lot of people, right? And so
let me say this. This, and this is what the beauty of your call too. You know, I just love when people share, because what I say is people are as different as their fingerprints. We are all as different as our fingerprints. So just what you just said, being personal, it may be personal to you, but it's what's personal to you may be an open book to someone else. So just know that we're so different, and some people are more private than others. Some people are open book and share, hey, the size of my underwear. But know that it's different. And the other thing I want to say is speaking to these people. When I say these people, I'm using air quotes. I'm using air quotes because it's really about knowing your audience. And I know, especially if someone isn't on a spiritual tip or even gets it, I'm not talking about this stuff. I'm just not. Because I would be speaking a different language. So sometimes nobody even knows what the hell I do or who the hell I am, or when I say who I am, I'm talking about, you know, the label of author or fitness instructor. No, you know, I remember working at the senior center or volunteering at the senior center for almost 2 years. Nobody even knew my name. my nickname was Pancake. They didn't know anything that I did. And it's really interesting when you're kind of mysterious. Well, what do you do? What do you do on the weekends? Nothing. So it's really about what to share, when to share it, sometimes not sharing it. That works too.
Okay, that helps me out. I just was looking for some clarification, and you were able to provide that today. And I really have enjoyed listening to your show and your point of view. So thank you for taking the time to share today with us.
Thank you so much, Dion. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the questions, and I really the feedback, and I love being challenged. I love all of it. I really, really do appreciate it, and thank you so much for your contribution today. Thank you.
No problem. Have a good day. I'll continue with whatever else that you're going to provide us with your gift. Thank you.
Oh, well, the show's going to be over in about 2 minutes, but thank you so much. Wow, what a great, great, great great calls. I really appreciate Matthew, and I really appreciate Dion just for sharing and contributing to the show, because, again, I don't know everything, but I just come with a different type of perspective, just a different perspective that has worked in my life as far as finding more peace. And let me just hold on a second. You know, when I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like any other skill. The more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, no, it is a moment-by-moment practice, the better the results. So the question you ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize the vibration, the energy of happiness, contentment, peace, satisfaction over everything else? And I say, and I mean everything else, everything. I'm a mother of one, and my happiness and peace is over him, way over him, because I'm going to be more helpful. I'm going to be more of service to anyone, any person, including my only son, if I'm at peace. If I'm at peace, I'm going to be more of a help. I'm going to be more of service. So let me just share with you just really quickly, because the first part of the practice, when I say happiness is the practice skill, the first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate, while practicing patience, Matthew, while practicing patience with self, behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your inner peace, from your happiness, and again, it is an energy. So I'm going to just share with you a few of the program behaviors that we've all been programmed to do that subtract, that have been proven to subtract from your peace and your happiness. You're ready? You might want to get a pencil and a pen or a paper. Why did I say pencil? Does anybody write with pencil? I guess some graphic artists and some, what are the, blueprints. Yeah, pencil. Anyway, I like writing with pencil. Back to the point. These are a list of some program behaviors that have been proven, that you've learned as a young child and you have adopted. And I love what Dion said as far as belief. There's a L-I-E in it. I didn't even know that one. I love that. There's a lie in the belief. That's right. Question your beliefs. Question, are they true? Okay, so here we go with the list. I'm just going to read some of them. Program behaviors. Blaming anyone or anything for the way you feel. Comparing yourself to others. Giving power to words. I know. Giving power to words. How about this one? Noticing what someone else is doing. That's a big one. What the practice is, staying out of everybody else's business. That's the universe's business. I'm in your business now only because I'm doing this show. But if you saw me in person, I wouldn't even be in your business. Stay out of everybody else's business. They're on their own journey. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing. Talking negatively about someone else, also known as gossip. Thinking anything is serious. Thinking anything is important. I know the whole programming is, this is serious health issue. This is important. And I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. It's the same with the house, the handyman. At first it was serious. At first it was important. Not anymore. Thinking that money can buy inner peace or happiness. We all know that. There's just too many examples from Elvis to Robin Williams to Anthony Bourdain to Prince to Michael Jackson. There's just too many examples. I'll even give you a current example. Mr. The Slap Heard Around the World, you know, I share this, and I've shared it before, that he did Will Smith had an article. He actually was interviewed in an article in GQ magazine in 2021. What is this, 2022? Yeah, in 2021, in November of 2021, before the slap. He said he had all the success, everything money can buy. But guess what he said in that article? He wasn't happy. Happy person doesn't walk on stage and slap someone else. They just don't do that. Now let's get back to the list of program behaviors that subtract from your happiness. Here we go. This is a big one. And I had to check myself with this just the other day. Wanting someone else to think that what you think is important is important. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. That goes out to all you people with causes. And I'm going to share that I was checked. The universe checked me last week it's just the same as having a passionate desire. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. And I had a passionate desire, and talk about letting go of this passionate desire to want people to be unprogrammed. You're not a robot. I want you to be enlightened. I want you to be free. Step out of the dream. This is reality. No, I want that for you so you could be at peace. I have to let that shit go too. I can't believe that the universe gave me that one. I thought I was, I don't think I had a cause. I don't have any causes, but I definitely had that one. Oh, I had to dig. Sometimes the stuff that the universe pulls out into the light, it's found in the closet, in the corners, you know, in the dark. Oh, I want people to be unprogrammed. Recognize the program, people. Eliminate the program. You'll be happier. I had to let that go. What's going to happen is going to happen. You're on your journey. I'm on my journey. I'm up here just sharing. Here we go. Sharing bad news. How many of you out there just love to talk, love to tell somebody what happened on the news? Did you hear about the mass shootings? Having expectations. All expectations subtract from peace, subtract from happiness. Having attachments, you already know that. Eliminate all attachments, even those quote-unquote sentimental things. Oh, it's sentimental. Well, I'm ready to give up anything. I mean, 5 years ago I was living in my dream home in the middle of the forest. I gave it up. I didn't give it up. The universe, hey, it's time to move. What do you mean it's time to move? This is my dream home. All my life, it's time to move. Oh, okay. Thanks, universe. I'll start packing, she said begrudgingly. The other program behavior is living in the past, living in the future. We already know about judgments. All judgments subtract from peace. This is a difficult one. Having a preference. Having preferences. That includes preferences about the weather. Resisting what is. Resisting what happens in the moment. Resisting the moment. You can tell you're resisting the moment as opposed to surrendering the moment. Surrendering in the moment. You can feel the difference. How about this one? Trying to control anyone or anything outside of self. Trying to control, trying to make suggestions, anyone or anything outside of self. And what about this one? I mean, this is an epidemic. Complaining. Especially complaining about something you have no control over. I don't know about you, but do you have control over who wins the elections? Complaining. Here we go. This is another one. Little off the grid, getting embarrassed, being embarrassed. The only reason why people get embarrassed or are embarrassed is because one reason is because they care about what someone else thinks. You care about what someone else thinks. That's the only reason. Well, there's two reasons. You're programmed to be embarrassed. Because when you were born, when you popped out of the womb, I'm telling you, you could walk around with no clothes on, playing with yourself, who cares? You weren't embarrassed. So number one is you were programmed to be embarrassed. And number two is caring what other people think. The other program behavior that's an epidemic is taking anything personally. You know, don't think I'm not a happiness specialist. Don't think that I'm walking around here not having any arrows or darts thrown at me. A lot of people aren't really comfortable and or happy and or accepting of this message or the message. And what is the message? The message is look in the mirror. It's not them, it's you. Now, this is a big world of it's you, it's them. It's not me. You change. You do something different. I'll be fine. I'll be okay if you change. I'll be fine when you change or when the world changes. I'll be better. I'm right now. Whatever you're vibrating now is what you're going to take into the next moment with you, whether somebody changes or they don't. How about this one, program behavior, worrying? Ooh-wee. That's another programming. You were taught how to worry. And all worrying is lack of trust. Lack of trust program. Oh, and since I talked about not all of them, but there's a lot. There's more. Lord have mercy. Okay, let me just be quicker. Needing to be right. Being impatient. Reacting rather than responding. There's a big difference. Emergencies are not included, but reacting rather than responding to any person or any circumstance. Responding requires consciousness. Responding requires thought and intention. This is another thing. I never use the word should. I just use the word, there's nothing I should do. There's only what I'm inspired to do. Lack of acceptance. Paying attention to numbers, thinking that there's something wrong with life being unfair and unjust. Oh, it's unfair. It's unjust. That's another cause. I know it's not popular. The program behaviors, the non-program behaviors that have been proven to add to inner peace and happiness are making a commitment to self, choosing peace in all moments, a 10 out of 10 commitment to wanting to be happier, to wanting to feel peace, to wanting to be the energy of contentment, making contentment a priority. That means you surrender to whatever is happening in the moment, also known as acceptance, humbling the ego, recognizing the ego, not giving the ego any power, starving the ego, self-awareness. Detachments from things, detachments from people, detaching. And when you detach from people, you will accept and love them even more. I know it sounds a little backwards and crazy, but when you detach from them, the love grows. Real love, not this conditional love that I love you if you do A, B, C, or D, and if you do E, F, G, and H, and Z, then I don't love you anymore. I'm talking about universal love. Being yourself without shame, acceptance of self and others, being okay with uncertainty, choosing a perspective, letting go of people and things that don't serve you. Celebrating your growth. You know, we don't have celebrations for growth, but I'm here to say celebrate your growth. Whatever you like to do, pat yourself on the back. You're getting an A+. And the final thing, well, there's more, but I'm going to wrap everything up because this is, whew, I can't believe I've been online so long, staying out of everybody else's business, choosing your focus. And this whole ego thing, this, you know, that entity tells the stories, how about witnessing the stories, witnessing the ego as opposed to identifying with it? Just witness it. I mean, and have some fun. You'll find, if your ego's like my ego, you'll find that there's never anything good happening. There is always a problem. There's always, I need more ego. I mean, I need more world. This isn't enough. Something's wrong here. You think I'm going to identify with that? My ego is constantly depressed. Why? Because it's never satisfied. Can you imagine never being satisfied? I'd be depressed too. And the satisfaction is found in the moment, in all present moments. And again, I'm not doing this by myself. Let go outside. You can do it one time, two times, three times a day, once a week, once a month. There are no rules here. No rules. Hands up, palms up. Hey, universe, how do I let go? How do I trust? How do I let go? How do I let go of the stories? How do I surrender in the moment? How do I accept myself? And then by that accepting self, you'll be able to accept others. How do I let go of judgment? How do I let go of complaining? How do I let go of comparing? How do I recognize my ego instantly? Ooh-wee! Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. She's just full of a lot of words. A lot of words. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the follow, and thank you for the contributions. I love when people want to share. I love questions, conversation. I like conversation that comes up with a solution. I don't just like to talk just to talk, even though it may feel like it. I like, what is the solution? Matthew had a question. Dion had a question. What is the solution? All right, that's enough for today's show. That's the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. That's N-O-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. My LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. That's trademarked, by the way. Woohoo! I do have a few videos on YouTube. I'm looking for a team, and the universe hasn't brought my team yet, but I have patience. Beep, 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 beep. But my ego doesn't, I'm overriding my ego. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And then this year I wrote a chapter in a collaboration. There's probably about 25 other authors sharing personal stories about which books have profoundly impacted and changed my life. So that book is called The Book I Read. That's on Amazon. It's on Kindle for $1.99. And the book that I'm writing now, that I've been writing for the last 100 years, is Programmed for Unhappiness. It really is about the programming. It's not your fault. We've all been programmed. And my point is to question the programming, is to expose the programming and discover the truth. Next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. You get an A+. Be your own best friend. Remember, this is a quote from Abraham, remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington, inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, and more importantly, student. And remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I'm the two spirit.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Spirituality.